Warning, the following podcast contains strong language, irreverent humor, and graphic content. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, nothing much. Just, you know, living the dream here. That's it. Well, WBU. It does.
Not a ton. Just not feeling well. And I blame the Jeremy preschoolers that I was watching on Monday.
Yep.
They were all kinds of coughing and sniffling and snotting like they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got my flu shot yesterday. They sure do. Which I don't think really helped matters.
Oh, that's right. Oh, like, yeah, you're probably not feeling well because of that.
Well, no, because you're not actually supposed to get symptoms from the flu shot. You're only supposed to get,
yeah, but I've gotten symptoms
aches
before.
Aches and pains or fever. Not like I have sore throat and stuffy nose. I didn't think that you're supposed to get that from the flu shot. Plus, my sore throat started last night, which would be really quick from the... I don't know. It jury's out on how I got this, whatever it is, but it's...
Either way, it sucks.
Yeah. But anyway, this is Booze and Ghouls, episode 11, our Halloween extravaganza. I'm Alana.
I'm Leanne.
And today
should I have said
drinking...
that more spooky?
No, it's fine. Today we are drinking, courtesy of me not feeling very well and getting some orange juice. We're having screwdrivers.
I love a good screwdriver.
Me too. The only thing I would have liked more probably is mimosas, but I feel like going to a separate store to get champagne because we already had vodka at home.
Yeah. I do like a good mimosa, though.
But fun fact, the only time I actually like pulp in my orange juice is when it's in a mimosa.
Crazy to me. I love pulp.
I don't like
pulp.
I don't like, I don't know, I don't like the feel
I like
of
it.
It in my mouth when I'm drinking anything. I don't know. Which is,
no judgment.
Thing I didn't know that, like, they make those aloe drinks, and I tried that, and I didn't realize there was pulp in that. And I was like,
are you like pulp of aloe?
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know if I would like that.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if I would like that.
I wound up just like, I didn't want to chew it, so I just swallowed it. Which is just like a
I'm
weird
dead.
Thing to say.
It's so gross. Right. It's so gross.
But yeah, but I love boba tea, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
There's,
no, me too.
Like
you know
a
what?
A weird line of what I will allow in my drinks. That I have
yeah.
to chew.
Well, I never thought I liked the boba that you get, like the tapioca ones.
Uh-huh.
But then when we got it in New York, I liked it.
Yeah, and those
that
were,
was the first time
I think
liked
those. Were a little softer. I think it just depends on how the people cook the boba, you know? Cause sometimes
I love the
too hard.
The ones that pop in your mouth.
Yeah,
I
like
I
those
love those.
Too.
But they make my stomach hurt. So I don't, like, I haven't gotten them in a long time.
That's weird. Well... Oh, I was going to tell you, too, that today that my eyeshadow I was wearing is from that palette that I got in my Ipsy bag.
Yay!
Which was a birthday present from you, so.
Fancy! You're welcome. It's a gift that literally keeps on giving.
Every month it gives.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sponsored by us, but if they would like to sponsor us, we'd accept
Please
it.
Do.
Also, let me just show you.
I don't know a damn thing about makeup. Oh, yeah, that's right. I did see the picture.
It's a
I did see
spider
it.
Web.
Yep.
And
yeah,
the
I remember I did
got
see
got
that.
Got a little spider on for Halloween.
That is adorable.
Isn't that cute?
Super cute.
Anyway. No more talking about
So Ipsy, sponsor us.
Yeah, since they're not our sponsor. And
yeah, that'll learn them.
That'll, yeah.
That'll, yeah.
I can't.
Oh, man. It didn't seem like that much vodka when you were showing me the bottle, but oof,
yeah,
a couple little sipperoonies kind of this, and I'm...
It's definitely more than a shot, I think.
A piece?
Mm-hmm. Probably like a shot and a half. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Still can barely taste it because all it tastes is that sweet orange juice.
I love juice.
I do. Juice is good. So, I remember I told you that I have my story is pretty creepy for Halloween. We didn't really, we didn't have theme. We didn't go for a specific theme, but we just were like, this is the Halloween episode, let's make it creepy.
Mine's creepy. Mine's hella creepy, I think.
Mine's creepy too, but it's not creepy and like you're gonna be scared later. It's just like you're probably gonna be grossed out while I'm talking about it, and you're gonna be like, people back in the olden days were hella weird.
I already think that, so I look forward to having more reinforcement of my theories.
Did we have anything else we wanted to talk about? Oh, we finally this is sort of relevant to my topic. We finally finished Dahmer on Netflix.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh, I gotta tell you something about that.
Like it was good. I think it was well done. I think the guy Evan Peters was really well acted. But there just was like, I don't know, it wasn't what I expected it was gonna be. And then when I found out that they hadn't contacted the victim's families beforehand, that kind of made me mad, because I was like,
that's fucked up.
Which is weird, because Ryan Murphy also just did the series The Watcher that's coming out on The Watcher House, the one that we covered on the podcast, and he did talk to the family for that, and they had some stipulations that they wanted put in there that they wound up doing.
But that was only one family, right?
Only one family. But
I wonder if that has something to do with it. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying I wonder.
When you've got a big budget to make a show, you're going to be like, 17 families is too much to reach out to?
Right, like
you've got people to do that shit for you.
Let me ask you this. I've been wanting to ask you this. And I've been waiting until we finished, and then I forgot last night. Do you think, after watching this and like knowing about Dahmer, what you know about Dahmer, which really, other than from like what we watched last night or what we watched on Netflix, I didn't know tons about him before. So I don't know like tons, but do you think that part of the reason why he killed the people that he killed was because he knew that they were marginalized?
So it's from just looking at it statistically, I originally thought that yes, it seemed like he knew that he could get away with it. But on the other hand, I kind of also just feel like maybe that's who he was attracted to. I think it's both, honestly. Yeah, because it seems a little convenient.
Yeah, I don't have an answer. I just was curious.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, if you look at his neighbor was this black woman, and she called the police multiple times on him, and they did not listen to her. And if they had, they would have caught him a lot sooner, and less people would have died. And it just, way like, less. The thing that enraged me, I think, the most about the whole show was them showing that the cops who were responsible for that barely got a slap on the wrist, and then they were honored later.
Got that award.
Fucking awards for policing. That, and I was really, like, when you have a whole room full of cops celebrating these guys who did shitty policing. And
that tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, it just shows you everything you need to know about the police system, that it's systemically racist, and that there's a whole lot that needs to change. And we are just like, the guy at the thing, when he was reading the whatever, so these guys could accept their reward, was like, we protect our own. And I was like, yeah, and that's the fucking problem, because you're not supposed to be protecting your own first. You're supposed to be protecting the citizens.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. Agreed on all fronts. I was just curious what you thought. We'll have to ask Lanice after this. Anywho, so yeah, I don't know. I just thought something to just like mull around a little bit. I don't necessarily think that Jeffrey Dahmer was like, ooh, I'm gonna kill all these black or Asian American Pacific Island.
You don't have to say the whole thing. I mean, you could just say Asian American.
I know, but I just am saying, I want to give him credence, because I think, you know, yeah, if I don't know that he was like, oh, I'm gonna go after them because,
like, I'm gonna go after specifically because, minorities,
right? But I think you and I both well know, and I think you'd be a fool to deny that if Jeffrey Dahmer was killing rich, white, 19, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, he would have been caught fucking the first one he fucking did.
Well, I mean, his first couple murders were white guys.
No, but I'm talking about like
when he really got into it.
And yeah, also yeah, too, no, when he was getting hit, told on, if it had been some white affluent person calling in
calling
and trying to follow
him.
Up, shit would have got done a lot more than
I totally agree with you there.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, there were a couple white guys in there at first.
I think a big part of it too is the fact that he was gay, but he internalized a lot of shame over it because of the way his mm-hmm. family was and the way he yep. was raised. And he sought out other gay people. And it was still in the time where if you were gay, people were like, ew. Like, they thought they were going to catch yep. something from you just because
like the cops.
You were gay. Yeah, like, they were, like, all freaking out about it. And there was a big thing where when AIDS was going around a lot and people were really scared about that. And so that was even, you know, another thing for them to be like, you know, just another thing against the gays. I can't really think of words right now. Sorry.
No, I know. You're good. I totally understand what you're saying.
But like, so that I think that definitely played a big factor too. So yeah, I don't know. I think
I was just curious what you thought.
Yeah, no, I definitely could see how it would be a thing, and I guess I wouldn't really know unless I had seen more interviews with him personally, you know. Or, I don't know. But yeah, it was definitely a well done, like, well acted and well written, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really need to, they should have made him less attractive, though.
I think that this is a big problem, too, with the our true crime obsession, is that there's a very fine line to walk with respecting victims while not glorifying murder,
mm-hmm.
and especially serial killers. People have weird obsessions with serial killers, and it's like, can we not, like, send them nude pictures of ourselves? Like,
yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, I definitely,
that's gross.
While watching this, was like, Evan Peters. Never really looked a second look at him, really. And now I'm going, okay, he's kind of good looking, but I'm not gonna, like, go find a real-life serial killer and send fucking news in the mail. Now, I would love to interview serial killers. I would love to ask them questions. But I'm not trying to take my top off, you know?
Right. Well, it was just, like, I remember when we watched that documentary about Richard Ramirez. Like, he was getting panties sent to him in the mail and stuff. And I'm like,
yeah, so fucking disgusting. Girls, come on, tighten
something,
up.
Yeah, there's something wrong there. There's something really wrong there. But anyway, happy Halloween, or the eve of Halloween.
Thank you, Halloween Eve, if you will, to everyone.
Because this is
when
coming
this,
out.
Episode drops.
Coming out, yeah, the day before Halloween.
Well, when this episode drops, you and I are going to be probably recovering from our the Halloween party.
Yeah, our festivities.
Be partying like rock stars.
Have you decided what you're going as yet?
I have not decided what I'm going to go as. I got a couple things. I got a couple irons in the fire.
I have one thing left I have to do for my costume, which is rip the knees of my jeans out, because I'm going as Eddie Munson from Stranger
Things.
I
do love that. That's going to be a good one. I thought about trying to go as Eleven and finding the wig with the really short hair, and then a dress, and then my eyes, a little blood coming from my nose.
Yeah.
But that's not really even the 11 anymore. That's like, the 11 would be that thermal shirt with the white pants.
Or you could. I mean, I feel like we've already got the baseball bat. You could be Steve.
I could be Steve. I don't know. I'll think about it. I don't know. I'm going to think of something good. I want to have a really good costume.
Yeah.
Because the Eddie Munson is going to be a really, really good one.
And I feel like that's going to be the popular costume this year.
Yep. And Dahmer.
Oh, my gosh. That's...
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a whole bunch of Dahmers.
Yeah, there will be a lot of them. I just think that that's kind of insensitive, but also, like...
You don't say.
But also,
yeah,
I would agree. I think that probably will be a popular one this year.
Would I allow my child to dress as Jeffrey Dahmer? No. But when I see a Jeffrey Dahmer come up for candy, I'll still laugh. I mean, that's like where I'm at. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it does. Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of what else was popular this year in terms of what costumes we'll be seeing. I'd love to see some dinosaurs. Because, you know.
The ones that have the air in them?
Well, it was just, yeah. But, I mean, because the last Jurassic Park movie came out this year.
Oh. Yeah. But I didn't know if you meant, because you know they have those ones that are the inflated ones?
Yeah. No, I like those.
Those are awesome.
Those are also kind of scary if you're not expecting it to come around. Have you seen that video where there's a guy in, like, I don't know if it's like a raptor costume or something, one of those. He's, like, standing around the corner, and, like, and they have something, like, they purposely drop something in the street so people, like, bend over to pick it up. And
yes.
After doing that, he comes out from around the corner.
I have seen it. So fucking scary. I would shit my pants.
I would be scared for a second, too, because, like, before your brain processes that it's a person in a costume, you're still assessing that there's
you're
a threat.
You're like,
there.
Oh, fuck, there's a dinosaur.
Yes.
Chris Pratt, come save me.
So, I don't know. I would love, what else has been popular? I don't know. I love sitting in the driveway and handing out candy. That
me too.
I haven't had a chance to do in forever. Cause, you know,
yeah, you didn't get to do that
in New York,
for a long time.
No one trick or treats. I mean, at least not in apartment buildings. You know, like we would see people dressed up. Like when I'd go out to walk Ollie, which I would always put him in his costume and walk him on Halloween. Mm-hmm. And even when I lived in Austin, I always lived in an apartment, and my mom and I lived in a condo, so I didn't really.
Yeah.
Get a lot of
I love handing out candy.
But it's fun to hand out candy.
See the little costumes, maybe have a little cocktail.
Yeah, and then we sit out there and we have a little drinky, and the neighbor comes by and gives us a thing of Fireball.
Yeah,
and
a little something. Talk shit to some kids, you know.
Like you do. Well, it does happen to be a odd numbered episode.
It does.
So I'll just crack into my gross story, if you don't mind.
Crack open a cold one. before you start, I will say, when I said crack open a cold one, it came to my mind. Did you see that Busch, the beer, makes those the beers for dogs in their broth?
No.
Oh my gosh, yes, they make brews. They're called like something brews, and they're by Busch, and they're like some kind of I'm gonna tell you right now. They're called, so they're by Busch, and they're called Dog Brew, and they're just like a pork broth with some herbs and spices.
That's so fun. We'll have to get some
yes.
for the dogs.
I know. Isn't that cool?
Okay. No, but really, yeah, that's cool. But the reason I was laughing so hard at you saying crack open a cold one, because you might, that might have new meaning to it after my story.
Oh, shit.
So, first of all, I need to ask you, have you ever heard of a phenomenon called corpse medicine?
Corpse medicine.
Yeah.
It sounds bad. No, I have not seen it.
It's not good. Well, okay. This is so I gotta give a shout out to Atlas Obscura, first of all, because that's how I found out about this. And they have this compendium of Halloween themed articles, which is how I found out about this. And they just, like, it has a tag, so you can click on the tag at the end and see all their, like, Halloween-themed articles, which is amazing. Which, I love Atlas Obscura anyway. It's like, have you ever been on there? They just kind of show you.
Only today when you sent me that thing.
Well, they have, like, creepy things in, you can put in, like, any city, and you can find whatever creepy or unusual things are in that city. And then they have articles about shit, and then they have Gastro Obscura, which is foods. Relating to food and stuff, and they also do trips, like you can book trips through them. Like that's where I was looking at that trip to Egypt. Anyway,
oh, okay, yeah.
It's just a really cool site. If you've never been on there, I would recommend checking it out. So I learned about this through them, and then I used some of the links that, you know, they have in embedded links, and read up a little more on that. So the other ones that I checked out were from sciencehistory.org, pharmacytimes.com, and then Smithsonian. So, I just gotta get into this, because it's wild. So, as you know, people have a long history of doing all kinds of wacky things in order to cure themselves of diseases and ailments.
Yes.
We've heard about, like, putting leeches on your body and drinking animal urine, but perhaps even more outlandish practice that became popular in Europe in the 16th and 17th centuries came to be known as corpse medicine, or as Wikipedia so eloquently puts it, medical cannibalism.
I don't even know what to say to this.
So I feel like this is timely because we just talked about
how the Jeffrey fuck Dahmer. Is this a thing?
Yeah, it is a thing, and you're gonna. It's gross, but yeah, I wrote yikes. So yeah, so this is a thing. Medical cannibalism in Europe can be traced back to the Roman Empire in the 2nd century AD, and according to this philosopher in the 15th century, Marsilio Ficino is how I'm going to pronounce that, Romans would drink the blood of slain gladiators to absorb their vitality.
Because, that does not surprise me,
right, because they're reason. Like, you know, there's these strong young men, and they were like... strong, virile men, we want to have the same, their youth and their strength and blah, 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 blah. So, when one of them dies, we're just gonna drink their blood and it'll transfer to us. I mean, that's not totally crazy. Like, it makes a little bit of sense, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, back in then, sure.
Yeah, so they would even maybe sometimes, like, cut the arm of a living person to get some of that fresh young blood.
Okay, but... now that's where I'm gonna draw a line.
Anyway... the medical cannibalism in Europe reached its peak in the 16th century, with the practice becoming widespread in Germany, France, Italy, and England. And I just think it's weird that I haven't heard of this before, because I knew that, like...
never heard of it.
In Victorian England, and kind of in that era, grave robbing was, like, a big problem, because universities would pay, like, top dollar for corpses, so they could have, so they could, like, do dissections for the medical students to study, and then, like, strip the flesh from the bones and have skeletons, so they could look at all the different bones in a body and stuff like that. So that became a thing where people would rob graves and take corpses, and it was like an issue. But prior to that, apparently they even believed that the human body could have other kinds of uses, especially when parts of it were ingested as medicine. So this practice started, I think, what I said was in an unexpected, yet once you hear it, maybe it's totally expected place. And that mm-hmm. is with the exploitation of Egyptian mummies.
Oh, of course.
So, as we know by now, the English have long had a habit of just kind of taking whatever the fuck they wanted from wherever mm-hmm. the fuck they want and bringing it back to England. Like, there's a whole big thing going on right now with the British Museum and trying to get certain artifacts back. Like, Egypt wants the Rosetta Stone back and all of this mm-hmm. stuff. Because they would literally just... go sack these countries, go colonize these countries, whatever, steal things that were important or sacred to them, and then bring it back to England. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff in the British Museum that people are like, can we have this back now? Like, it's ours, it belongs to us.
Like, we're done here, yeah, like, you've had it long enough.
Right. So, Europeans began exploring Egypt in the 13th century, and the interest in Egypt continued for hundreds of years, like, to this day, obviously, everybody's still, like, we want to go to Egypt, like, it's a thing. So, I said, you know, because obviously we're all still fascinated with this. I mean, all you have to do is watch an episode of Ancient Aliens to know people still are talking about Egypt.
Right.
Or Ancient Egypt, I should say. Obviously, Egypt is still a country. But the use of mummies in medicine can most likely be traced back to a component they were reported to contain. According to the sciencehistory.org article, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right. Bitumen? Bitumen?
B-I-T. Bitchin' man.
B-I-T.
I don't know why I said that.
That was funny, though. B-I-T-U-M-E-N. Bitumen? Bitumen? Whatever.
Bitumen?
It's a substance otherwise known as, like, asphalt, basically, or the black, you know, black sticky stuff that's on our roads. It's a naturally occurring hydrocarbon that has been used in construction in the Middle East since ancient times. Like, even in the book of Genesis in the Bible, they list it as one of the materials used to build the Tower of Babel.
Oh, wow.
So, ancient people also used this bitumen, whatever it's called, to protect tree trunks and roots from insects and to treat an array of human ailments. So, it is viscous when it's heated. And then it hardens as it dries, so that's why it's useful for things like stabilizing broken bones or creating a poultice for, you know, to use on, like, a rash or something. And even the Roman naturalist and historian Pliny the Elder, he wrote in his first century text Natural History that if you ingest it with wine, it will cure chronic coughs and dysentery, or you could combine it with vinegar to dissolve and remove clotted blood. And then even other uses of it included treatment for cataracts, toothaches, and skin diseases. Now, it was abundant naturally in the ancient Middle East, and in the 11th century, the word mummia was used to refer specifically to medicinal bitumen, and this is how the embalmed ancient Egyptian dead became known as mummies, because when the Europeans first came over and saw all the black stuff coating these remains, they assumed that that's what it was. And from there, the word mummia kind of doubled in meaning, referring both to the bitumen that came in, you know, that they found in nature, and also the dark substance that they found on these ancient Egyptians, which may or may not have actually been bitumen. But that's how... Sorry, I just realized my phone was ringing and someone from work is calling me to see how the interview went. But I'm just gonna let it ring. I'll text her later.
That's so cool, though.
Yeah, that's nice. And so I wrote this, kind of really started off the trend of using the parts of mummies in medicine because they thought it contained this, you know. Mm-hmm. In 1586, an English merchant named John Sanderson, which aren't the witches in
Hocus Pocus? Yeah, Sanderson's sisters.
That's funny.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
He smuggled 600 pounds of mummy parts from an Egyptian tomb and brought them back home to sell on the black market, basically. Or just the market, really. I don't know if they had a black market or if it was regulated at all. Probably not. I think a lot of this macabre fixation on the corpse medicine really stemmed from one source. This guy, Theophrastus von Hohenheim, better known as Paracelsus, I think is how that's said, but I don't know. He was a 16th century Swiss alchemist, physician, and philosopher. He believed in the adage of like cures like, or that like similar elements from outside of the body could restore health inside of the body. So if like, if your illness was centered on your head, then the best remedy in turn was to consume the part of a head of a healthy individual. He also advocated drinking blood, powdered skulls, and other parts of corpses, particularly those of men in their prime who died a sudden, violent death, since their, quote, vital spirit was so strong.
That is intense.
Right? And when the supply of Egyptian mummies dwindled, they decided that any dead Joe Schmo off the streets would do, as long as they were in good health when they died, and they died in a violent manner. Thus, the executioner became the new pharmacy in a way, with people even waiting nearby at executions to purchase a cup of the dead prisoner's blood to treat their own illnesses.
This is like the most Halloween thing ever, dude.
Right? Right? And so, I think it's just so crazy that we never heard of this. I feel like it became like kind of a hush-hush thing.
Never heard of this.
Yeah, we don't talk about when we used to drink blood and eat skulls, so we're just, don't bring that up at parties.
That never happens. Don't bring that up at parties.
So, people eating human body parts to cure themselves became such a widely accepted concept that it even crossed the Atlantic to New England, where 17th century Puritan town physician Edward Taylor touted all of these cannibalistic remedies in his dispensary. He even had a list of useful human body parts, including man's skull, good for head diseases, and the falling sickness, or epilepsy is what that was.
The falling sickness. Yeah. Okay.
Or moss in the skull of dead man exposed to the air to stop bleeding.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, so that I'm going to get into that a little more about the moss that grows on skulls, because that's a thing.
Too. Moss. Okay, I thought you said moth.
No, moss. So while a lot of these cures obviously did more harm than good, the patients swore by them. Skulls and other body parts were mixed with chocolate, wine, hard spirits, or other substances that when combined with a pinch of willful denial, is what it says in the article, may have made the person actually feel a little bit better, because, you know, sometimes it's in your head a little bit. And here's a quote. As with a lot of old-fashioned remedies, they were often mixed with other intoxicants like opiates or alcohol, says Lydia Kang, co-author of Quackery, A Brief History of the Worst Ways to Cure Everything, which sounds like an awesome book and I want to read it.
Right.
She said, quote, there was a lot of magical belief in placebo going into these. And then perhaps one of the most famous people to make use of this corpse medicine was King Charles II. So not the current king. We just crowned King Charles III. which I just thought was kind of funny that he's like King Charles III and now I'm talking about King Charles II, who was years and years ago.
Yeah, that is funny.
But anyway, so he, after he suffered a stroke, he insisted that he was in need of this remedy called Goddard's Drops. And he actually paid Oliver Cromwell's doctor and chemist, Jonathan Goddard, a handsome sum to the tune of something like £1,600, which I couldn't figure out if that was in that time's money or today's
back
money.
Or now,
either way, it was a shit ton of money for this formula, for the Goddard's Drops. And this guy, Jonathan Goddard, claimed that his invention, which later became known as the King's Drops due to the king taking them, was kind of like a miracle cure for all manner of, like, whatever ails you. And the recipe for this liquid was, like, complex. It had numerous components. But the secret ingredient, and the most crucial one, was a powder consisting of 5 pounds of crushed human skulls. Yeah. And now, I said, predictably, this remedy did not work, and the king died shortly thereafter.
Yeah, of course.
But in 1686, a patient named Anne Dormer was given King's Drops to cure her, quote, restlessness and generally meek disposition. Like,
I am, so she was shy.
Like, yeah, well, I was like, what the fuck? So she was a person. But yeah. Anyway.
So she had emotions.
Right, so she had emotions. She was a person. But you know, for women back then, anything that wasn't like whatever someone expected of you was like, oh, she's suffering from hysteria. Put her in an institution.
Yep, put her in the homes.
Anyway, she mixed these King Drops with chocolate and found that the treatment was rather effective in altering her mood for the better. Which, fuck yeah, you're eating chocolate. Of course you're gonna feel better.
Right, right.
And so, anyway, but she kind of swore by those as helping her with her condition, which seemed to hardly be a condition at all. They were especially popular, but medical books across Europe published all sorts of other recipes for various skull-related cures. A German alchemist by the name of Oswald Kroll published a recipe for an epileptic cure in 1643 that called for 3 skulls for a man killed by violent means. Which, oh now, how you get those, I guess, would be up to the person, but surely you're not advocating to actually kill the men
right.
in order to get their skulls.
Well, probably are.
Or are you?
By any means necessary.
Right, right, right. And then in 1651, English physician John French wrote The Art of Distillation and a recipe for essence of man's brains, which he said was a cure for epilepsy. And then this is the quote. Take the brains of a young man that has died a violent death, together with the membranes, arteries and veins, nerves, and bruise these in a stone mortar until they become a kind of pap. Then put as much of the spirit of wine as will cover it. Then digest it half a year in horse dung.
Okay.
Gross. 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 So not only you're mashing up brains and cover it in wine, but then you're going to want to stick that in a big pile of horse dung and let it sit for 6 months. And then have it.
So
disgusting. Gross. Anyway. In addition to skulls, other parts of the body were used for other illnesses. So, yes, even the moss that would grow over a buried skull, called usnea, or usnea, U-S-N-E-A, became a prized additive. It's powder believed to cure nosebleeds and also epilepsy. Human fat was used to treat the outside of the body. German doctors would prescribe bandages soaked in it for wounds, and then if you had gout, just rub a little human fat onto your skin, and that'll help with your gout.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, get it right all up in there. It's disgusting. Sorry. Another reason human remains were considered potent was because they were thought to contain the spirit of the body from which they were taken. And at this time, spirit was considered a very real part of the physiology and as a link to the body and soul. And in this context, blood was especially powerful. They thought, quote, they thought the blood carried the soul and did so in the form of vaporous spirits. And then that also the freshest blood was the most robust. So like I said before, young men in their prime, sometimes virginal young women, and by ingesting these materials and the blood and all that stuff, one would gain the strength of the person that they were consuming.
My gosh.
They even, like, so I have another quote here by someone named Noble. They were quoting Leonardo da Vinci. I'm not quite sure on this. It says, "We preserve our life with the death of others. In a dead thing, insensate, life remains which, when it is reunited with the stomachs of the living, regains sensitive and intellectual life," which I'm pretty sure is a whole lot of bullshit, but that's what they thought. And in another example of the English being truly terrible to the Irish, Kang, the person before who wrote the book, says, "Often they would go to Ireland because there were so many people who had died on the battlefield and there were so many skulls lying around."
It's like a rummage sale.
Right, exactly. It's like, ooh, prize, you know, prize skulls just sitting out here for anyone to take. The English, that's, even the English.
That is so horrible.
Right? Even the English philosopher Francis Bacon once remarked that skull moss, which was thought to be good for nosebleeds, could be harvested from the, quote, "heaps of slain bodies lying unburied over in Ireland." God. Which, like,
that's so fucking
that's
gross.
That's another thing entirely, the relationship between England and Ireland. But, yeah, that is gross. It's just like, oh, look at all these dead bodies and all this skull moss we can get for our medicines.
And listen, I mean, where else are you going to go for skull moss, you know?
And so it became so prevalent that moss-covered skulls looted from the battlefields became a common sight in London druggist shops.
That's sad.
Yeah. And then the marketing of these skulls was only one more brutality in a long list of oppressions against the Irish. The fact that there was money to be made, particularly from the export of skulls, seemed to be enough to keep anyone from questioning the ethics of the business for a really long time. And especially, Kang says, Germany had a particularly big hunger for corpse medications, so there was a brisk trade in pillaging Irish skulls and selling them to Germany.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So even at corpse medicine's peak, two groups were kind of demonized for related behaviors that were considered savage and cannibalistic. One was Catholics, whom Protestants condemned for their belief in transubstantiation, which, as you know, is that the bread and wine of communion become, through God's power, the actual body and blood of Christ. Which, fine, whatever, that's fine if you want to believe that. But they were like, yeah, that's gross, and you guys are gross for thinking that. And then they turn around and say, well, I'm just going to get some of my skull moss over here.
Right.
Yeah. And then the other group was Native Americans, because they had all these negative stereotypes about them that they justified by the suggestion that some of these groups, which not even all of them, obviously, practiced cannibalism. And so they're like, oh, no, that's so terrible. You're eating people. I need to go to the executioner and buy some blood.
Right. Exactly. I mean, my goodness. But, you know, it's funny because it's like, that's still just, like, so how people
are today. Yeah, it's like, things haven't even changed that much.
Nope, sure haven't.
I feel like the more we learn about history, the more we realize that things just don't change that much. They just, technology gets better.
Correct.
So, quote, "it looks like sheer hypocrisy," says Beth A. Conklin, a cultural and medical anthropologist at Vanderbilt University, who has studied and written about cannibalism in the Americas. "People of the time knew that corpse medicine was made from human remains, but through some kind of mental transubstantiation of their own, they refused to see that they're basically cannibals too, you know?" Like,
right.
They're like, oh no, you just crush it up and you mix it with wine and that makes it okay.
It's totally fine.
It's totally fine, guys. We're way different.
Not weird at
all. We're way different from, like, the Mayans human sacrificing to their gods or whatever. But yeah, so... Yes. She also said, "the one thing we know is that almost all non-Western cannibal practice is deeply social in the sense that the relationship between the eater and the one who is eaten matters. On the other hand, in the European process, this was largely erased and made irrelevant. Human beings were reduced to simple biological matter equivalent to any other kind of commodity medicine." Yeah. So that's basically, I mean, eventually corpse medicine died out. Obviously.
Died out.
Right. Obviously,
see what you did there.
Science got better. And they realized that, you know, eating human skulls doesn't do anything.
Except for make you gross.
Right. And so it eventually stopped. But yeah, that's basically the phenomenon of corpse medicine.
That's crazy. I have never heard of that. Right? That is wild.
And it was pretty widespread. Like, it was a big thing in Europe. So that's crazy that, like, we've just never heard about it.
Yeah, never. Never. Ugh. Disgust. Okay, well, so I feel like mine is not as much a Halloween tale now. That is, like, straight up Halloween. That is a straight up Halloween fucking tale. All right. So my story is amazing because I've been waiting to talk about this one for a while. And this story just really, to me, is really fucking scary. And so that's why I picked it for Halloween. It has nothing to do with the holiday of Halloween. It's a true crime story, but I just think it's fucking nuts. And it really scares me to my core. A couple things I want to say. First off, do you remember when we went to Sarasota or something with a group of us at friends and stayed at that hotel and randomly went and hung out with that guy that worked at the hotel?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so, like, we were in Orlando.
Orlando. That's what I meant. Yeah. So, like, I think about that sometimes and I'm like, we're lucky to be alive. Because
I remember you never know. You were like, I don't think we should go with this guy. And I was pretty drunk and I was like, nah, he seems like he's legit. It's fine. Like, what is he going to do? Take us? He'd lose his job.
Right.
That was my impression of drunk me.
It was a good one, too. So, okay. So I just want to keep that. I want to put that story out there. And then I want to ask you another question. From zero to Evel Knievel, how much of a thrill seeker are you? I'm -7.
Well,
I don't need any thrill in my
definitely
life.
Definitely not the Evel Knievel type, but I don't know really what the scale is, so I'm going to say I am about 2 slices of cheese worth.
I'm fucking dead. Okay, so I'm -7, you're 2 slices of cheese, but let me just tell you a little story.
Evel Knievel, so I didn't know if we were going numbers here, if it's just arbitrary.
Well, I'm going to tell you a story about some people who were definitely closer to Evel Knievel and eventually ended up just paying the price. So this is a story that is scary to me because of what I just talked about, going with people you don't know. Secondly, I'm not a thrill seeker. But thirdly, this is also like one part America's Dumbest Criminals.
All right.
Okay? So I'm going to tell you a story. So there's these two people and the guy's name was Josh Ford. They called him JD, and Martha, and they called her Jeannie. Okay, her last name was Crutchley. So they were a couple. They'd been living together for about 3 years. He was a insurance broker and she was an accountant, and they were a little bit of an age difference. He was 32 and she was 51, but everyone kind of really was like not worried about the age difference at all. They were a really happy couple. They kind of did everything together. They were just your average Joes, if you will. And they decided to go in 2002 on a Memorial Day weekend trip to Ocean City, Maryland. Have you been?
No. I mean, I've driven through Maryland before because you have to when you're going from Florida to New Jersey or whatever. But
so I've never been. Or when I was little, but not like since I remember as much. And so they rented this place called Rainbow something. No, I take it back. Atlantis Condominiums and they were going to have this long weekend. They were both due back at work on Tuesday, but they were going to have this nice long weekend. So I'm going to fast forward and then we're going to go back. So
that was the fast forward.
I thought that was Ollie. I was like,
I was trying to make a noise. Like,
shit. No, that was good. That was good. I like that. So we're going to fast forward. No, we're not going to fast forward yet. We're going to talk about how a little bit fast forward to Tuesday when Josh Ford and Jeannie Crutchley don't show up to work.
Oh, no.
Okay, so they don't show up to work on Tuesday, which apparently Jeannie, I don't know about Josh, but Jeannie was an accountant, and she apparently never missed a day of work in 20 years.
Whoa.
Crazy, but like, so there was definitely a problem. Her coworkers were concerned. They called the police for a wellness check. So they go to the condo because they were like, hey, they went to Ocean City for this trip and da-da-da-da-da, and then no one ever heard from him, which 2002, okay, so I graduated high school in 2003. So 2002.
What? You did? Me too.
Oh my gosh, no way.
How crazy.
What? That is insane. I went to school in Florida, though.
I went to school in Florida.
No freaking way. Oh my gosh. What a small world. But yeah, so they couldn't find anything at this condo, but they went in and their car keys were there, cameras, computers, clothes, everything. The only thing they didn't really have at that place were their IDs. Okay. So they start doing some digging and they still have no word from either one, Josh or Jeannie. They haven't had any word from them. So they start doing some digging into the credit card statements, and they show that on that Saturday, May 25th, they were at the Green Turtle. So it was like a popular sports bar in Ocean City, okay? Okay. So it shows that they were there on – it does, right? And they were there on Saturday evening. They actually ended up going to the place, tracked down the waitress. The waitress actually remembered them because there were pictures. You know, they found pictures of them. The waitress remembered them, said they were alone when they were at the Green Turtle. So then they follow, and they find that they have these, this, this is funny. It's not really funny because this is really actually really sad, but right now it's funny because I haven't told you the sad part yet. There's a place that they go to. Next, they find out that they were at this place. It's a nightclub called Secrets, but it's S-E-A-C-R-E-T-S. Oh, I see what you did there. Yes.
You know I love a good pun.
I'm fucking dead. Me too. Me too. You know I do. So anyway, so they talked to people around there, and they actually ended up talking to a city bus driver, and the city bus driver recognized Josh and Jeannie right away, and he said, yeah, they were actually on the bus, and then I dropped them off at Secrets. However, he said that they were with another couple, Caucasian, early to mid 20s, and that what happened is Josh and Jeannie were already on the bus. This other couple gets on. They only have a $5 bill for the fare. So they say, the bus driver's like, does anyone have a change for a five? Josh said, oh, I do. And he paid for them because he had a couple bucks on him. And I guess the guy said, oh, thanks. You know what? When we get to Secrets, I'll buy you a drink. So witness reports, people that worked at Secrets reported that Josh and Jeannie were with this other couple having fun. The whole night, just partying, which,
like,
drinking.
Can I just say, too, that that's such a, it seems like such an innocuous thing to meet yeah. another couple on a vacation and start partying with yeah. them. I feel like tons of people do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what are the chances? It's not like they're, like, hunting you down and like, they're like, oh,
right,
you're on a bus.
I feel
you know,
like
what
it's
are
even
the chances?
More, almost, it seems safer than what we did, which was four girls go with
oh, God,
this.
I just shudder. I shudder to think.
White guy who was a few years older than them. And he drove and, like, traipsed us around town, basically.
Seriously.
Like, it is a wonder that we didn't wind up back at his house and, like, tied up or something.
In a cage.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But you know what, young people be stupid.
Yeah, young people do be stupid. And and this is no exception because that we're going to get to where it turns into America's Dumbest Criminals. Okay. So anyway, after that, nothing. They said they saw Josh and Jeannie leave with this other young couple, but no one knows what happens after that, right? They didn't show up to work on Tuesday. No one knows. So now I'm going to forward you about a week later, not even a week later. I'm going to forward you to May 31st, 2020. Okay?
Okay.
Police get a silent alarm, tripped at a Hooters restaurant
in
Ocean City. Hooters.
Dead.
Oh, just wait. Oh my gosh. So the police get up on the scene. There's a Jeep pulled up to the back, open. Two extremely intoxicated man and woman are loading a shit ton of Hooters merchandise in the back of their Jeep. They're breaking into fucking Hooters. Shirts, hats, golf shirts, anything you can fucking imagine. Now, this is interesting. So I didn't know this, but apparently you cannot get the Hooters shirts anywhere. You cannot buy those Hooters shirts that the girls wear.
Oh, okay.
So that's why they were breaking. Well, that's not why they were breaking, but they were breaking in, and they like, that was one of the things that they were getting were those shirts because you can't buy those.
So anymore. They're a hot commodity.
They're a hot commodity. Okay, so they pull over this. You know, they get these people into custody, and it's a guy and his wife. Okay, the man's name. They're in their mid 20s. The man's name is Benjamin Seifert, and the woman's name is Erica Seifert. Okay.
Okay.
So they're intoxicated and they're, you know, obviously got their handcuffs on. They're sitting on the curb, whatever. So the police are, you know, trying to get this, like, they're just going to, like, write this in as a B&E. They're going to take him down to the station, whatever. And actually, Benjamin is so fucking fucked up that he even says to the cops, like, can we just, like, give you back the merchandise and you can let us go? Like, we don't need to do this any further. And they're like, no, you're absolutely going downtown. Well, Erica starts having a panic attack. And she starts losing her shit, freaking out. And so she tells the police officer, and this is where we're going to come in our America's Dumbest Criminals. Erica is having a panic attack, tells the police officer, I have prescription anti-anxiety meds in my purse. Can you please go in my purse and get them? So the police is like, well, yeah, I don't want a crazy fucking little petite little white girl losing her shit on my watch. Right. So he goes into the purse, has a look around, and he finds her anti-anxiety meds. But he also finds Josh Ford and Jeannie Crutchley's IDs.
She just was carrying them around in her purse with her.
Along with a couple other little items that I'll get to in a second. So the police recognize the pictures, right? Oh, fuck, this is the missing couple that we've been looking for. So this is when things heat up. So the Seifritz get arrested, and now they're in hot fucking water.
Right.
Because along with the IDs, Erica also has a ring that seems to have some type of blood on it, and two spent shell casings. So they arrest him, they take him in for questioning, and of course, like you would if you're a fucking sociopath, you are maybe not a sociopath, but just fucking nuts, you turn on your husband right away. So the wife, Erica, saying this is all Benjamin's problem. This is all what Benjamin was doing. And of course, Benjamin's saying, Erica's a fucking psycho. You gotta get her off the streets, you know what
right,
I mean?
They're just turning on each other.
Of course. So they go, and they go to this penthouse that the Seifritz were staying at, and they do some digging. And of course, first off, they find pictures. Shit ton of pictures. Now, granted, this is really before we took, like, a lot of pictures on our phones. Of course, you know, in, like, 2022. But they have just pictures of, that they had taken. And I'm going to share it with you here. So this picture that I'm going to share with you now is a picture of Josh Ford and Jeannie Crutchley. It's like apparently what they say is the last known photo of them. Mm-hmm. And you can see he has a Seifritz cup in his hand. You can see the S.
Oh, yeah.
And then do you see his ring on his finger?
Yeah. Wait, was he the older one or was she the older one?
She was the older one. She was like 51. He was like 35.
For some reason in my head, I just mixed around that it was the opposite. And I looked at the picture and I was like, he doesn't look like he's 50. And then because he's the
right.
30, whatever. Okay.
Yeah, he's the young guy. So they decide that they start looking into this and they start obviously questioning. So Erica kind of starts to come clean at first. Because at first, you know, I mean, and this is just the way that it is. It doesn't make it right. But of course, they're going to start believing this tiny little, you know, little sweetheart. Because I got to back up and say that Erica was, like, born and raised really, really nice. She was born in Pennsylvania. She was, like, real, you know, she was an athlete. She went to a college. She graduated cum laude, is that what it is?
Laude or something?
Obviously, I fucking don't know.
Cum laude or whatever, I think that's
yeah, she graduated that, like, top of her class. He, Benjamin Seifert was in, actually, he was, like, top of his class at the Navy Academy to be a Navy SEAL.
Oh, being a Navy SEAL is fucking hard, too.
Yes, I mean, he was just, and they said, one person had said that he's a guy that could party all night, drink, just, like, drink it fucking up. Sleep for like an hour, wake up and run like a fucking marathon and be like first place.
I believe that if he was like a Navy SEAL because like,
yeah,
I watched one of those episodes from America's Book of Secrets on like the intense training they have to go through. And I was
yes.
like, I would literally die in that. And you know what? Some people
do
die.
I would die.
Some people do die trying to go through that. Oh
yeah. So they, Benjamin was, you know, a top of his class. And being the Navy SEAL. And so he was doing actually really great. Well, once he got with Erica and they got married, it kind of just turned bad for them. He actually ended up getting discharged due to bad conduct. He was like, he went AWOL. He was insubordinate. Just a lot of shit that was like really weird that he didn't do at first. So a lot of people are saying like Erica and Benjamin together were just like, it's annoying because every time I kept hearing it, I'm like, I would roll my eyes, but they kept saying that he was just like, they were, one of them was, you know, a match and the other one was fucking dynamite. Like together, totally fine. Or I mean, apart, totally fine, but together, fucking nuts.
Yeah.
So they actually ended up, they get Erica and, you know, and they're going to listen to her first, right? Okay. And she's playing the, I'm just a victim and blah, blah, blah. So they're like, well, tell us what happened. And then, you know, we can kind of cut you a deal. Well, after she starts talking, it's kind of obvious that there ain't going to be no deal. She talks and she tells the story. She said that they bring Josh Ford and Jeannie Crutchley back to their room. Or, yeah, back to their penthouse. They're having drinks in the hot tub, whatever. And then they decided that apparently they wanted to up the ante a little bit and have a little bit of a thrill. And this is where the whole thrill-seeking thing comes in. Because apparently breaking into Hooters, and also apparently they were breaking into local like places around their business. They had like a small scrapbook store. Mm-hmm. Apparently doing that and like doing cocaine and doing small breaking and enterings didn't have that appeal that it used to.
No, you gotta escalate.
Because they decided, you gotta escalate. And they decided to escalate to a little game that they played.
A little murder game.
A little murder game. So essentially what they did is Erica started freaking out and saying that she couldn't find her purse. She said, it's right here. I always put it right here. I'm super anal. I put it right here every time. And now I can't find it. You guys had to have taken it. So of course they're like, no, like we don't know where your purse is, whatever. And they're like, well, you're going to help us find it. So Benjamin pulls out a gun. And they apparently both like had quite a few firearms. That wasn't crazy. So Benjamin pulls out a gun and he like is like, you guys are going to help me fucking find this purse. So they start looking for the purse. Well, they can't find the purse. So Benjamin then makes him strip down and is like, we're going to find this purse. Da, 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 da. And then the couple runs away, gets into the bathroom. That's when Ford shoots a couple times into the bathroom and hits Josh, but then kicks the door in and shoots him again in the head. Crutchley was also killed in the bathroom, and they believe that she was stabbed from what they were told by Erica. But of course, we don't know really what happened. The only two people who know exactly what happened were Erica and Benjamin.
Yeah.
So what do you do on Memorial Day weekend when you're in Ocean City and you just killed a couple? You got to get rid of the body, right?
Right.
So they dismembered both bodies. And Erica said they dismembered both bodies.
I love that I just said gross after I just read you a whole thing about people.
Right. About moss brains, yeah, or whatever, moss skull. So they decided that they were going to dismember the bodies, and they put them in grocery bags, took them down to their Jeep, and went across state lines to Delaware and threw them in a grocery store dumpster.
I'm just saying, I can barely pick up dog poo without throwing up.
Seriously, right?
There's no way I'd be able to dismember a body.
Erica told the story. She said that, first, these are the details I want to tell you with that just scare me to no end, because I just think about, like, you just never fucking know. You never fucking know. So Erica said, first off, the police said when they came in the house, there were pictures of the couple. And there were two bullets. And one of the bullets had human flesh on them.
Oh.
They went into the bathroom. The bathroom, it looked like somebody had tried to clean. But there was still blood in the bathroom and hair with scalp.
Ugh.
In the drain.
Wait, in the bathroom of where?
In the bathroom of this condominium or penthouse that they did the killing.
Were they still staying there?
Yeah, so they were staying there. So it's weird because, like,
I was like, how did no one clean? How did no one from the, like?
Oh yeah, no. This was like an extended thing. I think this is where they stayed like for a good while.
Okay. So they were like, no thanks on the maid service. We're good.
Yeah, no, we good. And they're, so of course, I don't know, this lady, Erica and Benjamin both just seem to be really big shoppers. So there were just tons of pictures of them in the penthouse after the days after this killing, going to Home Depot to buy a new door, because, you know, he shot through it and kicked it in. Going, buying a shit ton of cleaning supplies. Erica said there was so much blood in the bathroom that when you stepped, it splashed up.
Ew.
Correct. So this is so interesting. So they said, and this is kind of what really sealed the deal. So then, well, no, first off, I gotta say this because this is just to me is the creepiest shit ever. Erica said when she was trying to play her whole little, I didn't really do anything, it wasn't me, blah, blah, blah. She said that she was afraid and ran into the bathroom after Benjamin had shot Josh. And then when she came out a little while later, he was in the hot tub. Benjamin was in the hot tub. And she didn't know exactly what was going on, but it looked like there was someone in the hot tub with him. And when she went over, he was chilling in the hot tub with both of their heads.
Oh! Disgusting.
Like, what the actual fuck? What the fuck? And so then on top of that, then she also said...
Were they on drugs at the time?
She said that they were doing, she was snorting Xanax, but also that they were doing cocaine.
I mean,
that's all she fessed up to. She didn't say, or I mean, I think smoking some weed, but I don't think they were. She didn't say anything about like PCP or anything like that.
I don't really know that any kind of drugs would make you a killer if you want one already.
I agree.
But I just am like, that's some fucked up shit. If you're like, hey, you know, it sounds like a really good idea right now. Getting in the hot tub with these decapitated heads.
God, like what a fucking psycho. And then she also said that he came out of the hot tub with the heads and was like, here, take my picture with them.
People are and then, disgusting.
Yes. And then she also said that they were kind of maybe talking about eating some of the flesh, but they didn't.
Okay.
So I don't know. But what's interesting is the way that kind of blew this case wide open. The case was open once Erica's dumbass asked for some fucking Ativan at the Hooters, you know? But what was interesting is, and I think this is cool, Delaware actually has, and this is like Dumbest Criminals Part 2, because Delaware actually keeps track of every single dumpster and where the stuff that was in the dumpster is dumped.
Well, you know what? Delaware is small enough to do that.
Right. So they were, right, yeah, that's true. But they were actually able to go to the section where that dumpster was dumped, and they were able to find... remains of both bodies.
That's amazing. Also, isn't like, that that's crazy? Kind of just a good idea. Like, I don't know how much money it would be to implement something like that. All you would really need is to have, like, barcodes on the dumpster and scan them as you go. Like, it's not...
Yeah, that's all it would take. So anyway, of course, the Seifertz were, you know, back and forth. It wasn't me, it was her. It wasn't her, it was me.
Hey.
But anyway, so they actually... because of like the publicity of the case, they moved the trial out of Maryland or out of Worcester County, which is where they were. Benjamin's was held in Rockville, and then Erica's was held in Frederick. So in 2003, Benjamin's trial, this is where it fucking goes nuts. Are you ready?
As I'll ever be.
Okay. So at Benjamin's trial in 2003, this 22-year-old woman, Melissa Sealing, testified at the trial, and she said that her and another guy escaped that same fate, and were actually partying with them like a day or two later, and went up to the penthouse with them, and they said that they couldn't find their purse, and the girl started freaking out. Erica started freaking out that she couldn't find her purse, and they were accusing them of stealing it, and they looked for it, and they found it, and so they were like, okay, great, well, we better call it a night, and let her and the guy go.
That's crazy.
That shakes me to my fucking core.
Also, like, hide your purse better if you're having...
Yeah, no doubt, right?
This is part of your
purse. So you literally, they were like, okay, if she finds the purse, we let her go.
Yeah, I guess. I guess maybe that was, like, part of the game.
It was.
It's sort of like Russian roulette, except you're not playing with your own life. You're playing with...
Yes, dude. So she testified at the trial April 9th, 2003. Benjamin was convicted of second-degree murder and first-degree assault because apparently, and that was of Crutchley, that was of Jeannie. But he was actually acquitted of the charges in the death of Josh Ford because the gun that was used is I think 357 Magnum was registered to Erica.
Oh, okay.
So he was sentenced to 38 years in prison, which to me is absolutely insane that you and your wife murdered two people and you only have 38 years in prison.
Yeah.
But you know, it is what it is. Erica's trial started on June 3rd.
And I feel like part of it when you're getting a sentencing is like, do you feel that they're going to be repeat offenders or whatever? But obviously mm-hmm. they would because they tried it again.
Yeah, dude. And if you think about like, if they hadn't been caught,
they might have done it again.
They would have done it. They would have done it tons of times. And I'm going to show you a picture in a second. But so Erica's trial started on 3rd. It only took like 8 days. June 11th, she was convicted first degree murder and the death of Ford, second degree murder and the death of Crutchley, and she got life in prison plus 20 years.
That's weird. That I wonder if they took. Wait, did you say that he was a Navy SEAL, or was it
he was a Navy SEAL?
Yeah. So I wonder if they took that into account with like
maybe they did.
We appreciate your service to the country or something. Maybe kind of shit like that.
I mean that happens. I know they do that. Stuff like that happens.
Yeah. And I will and say now it, this is not. Part of that, I obviously don't know what kind of, if he saw any combat or anything like that, but I uh-huh. would say, you know, military service, especially the more violent, the worse it is, really fucks you
agreed.
Up.
Agreed. 100%
and
agreed.
We don't provide our veterans with sufficient care not. When they get back mm-hmm. from war or whatever the hell yep. they've been through, and I know Navy SEALs go through a lot too, so maybe yeah. that was part of, like, he had psychological
that could have very well been,
that, you know?
Yeah. I would agree. I would completely agree. I mean, there is a lot of stuff that just fucks them up in the head, and then they do. They come home, and there's no help.
Yeah.
Or there's help, but you got to drive an hour to get right. it. Or you don't have a car because you can't find a job because you have mental health issues that you got fighting for this country. But sorry, you got to drive an hour. If you can't get there, you can't get there.
Yeah.
I know it's gotten better. I know the VA has gotten better, but it's still, like, horrible.
We still just don't do enough.
I mean, I say horrible, but we don't do enough. Yeah, exactly. We don't do enough. I did want to show you this picture. So this is a picture of them like a day or two after they had killed that couple. And you can see her. She's wearing Josh's ring around her neck.
Ugh.
Yeah, fucking psycho. So anyway, so Benjamin actually is up for parole. He was up for parole. So he was up for parole in 2017, and he actually chose to postpone his hearing. And then recently in 2022, in March of 2022, no, I'm sorry, May of 2022, he did attend the hearing. It was about an hour and 40 minutes. He was denied, but with his 38-year thingy, he is set to get out in 2030.
Yeah.
That's only 8 years from now.
Yeah, that's a long time.
So, anywho.
Now, I feel like
I just
maybe
don't even know, man.
If he does get out. He's not with her anymore, so maybe
yeah,
it won't.
I agree.
Maybe he won't have as many issues.
Yeah,
maybe.
I agree.
Maybe prison helped him. Because I do believe in rehabilitation. Like, that's part of why
yeah,
we're,
absolutely.
We send people to prison. I don't think we should just lock every criminal up indefinitely. But,
right.
yeah, that's still kind of, you think that yeah. sometimes you think the punishment doesn't fit the crime, you know?
Like, I almost feel like she, like, maybe they don't need to, they need to not let her out.
Yeah, well, you said she got,
you know,
she got
I
life
mean,
plus whatever.
She got life plus 20 years, but she still is up for parole.
Oh, okay.
She will have a parole hearing. I mean, I'm sure they won't let her out, but she is up for parole hearing, I think, in, like, another couple years.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just because you get sentenced to prison for this amount of time, that doesn't always mean you're
no.
going to serve that much time.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, you know that, you know, as well as I do, so. But yeah, that to me, I don't know why, but I just, when you said Halloween, I'm like, I don't know why, but just like the vision I have of him holding those two heads after getting
oh
out of the hot tub
gosh.
Butt naked, I will fucking haunt me.
It is. That is like.
And it's like, dude, if you want to, like, if you're listening and you and your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend want to, like, spice things up a little bit, maybe just, like, buy some edible underwear or some
right,
shit.
Right, you know, go to an S&M club or something.
Right. Go skydiving.
Don't kill
break
people.
Break into Hooters and then kill people. Right.
I mean, I don't think if there's one thing that we haven't stressed enough on this show, it's don't kill people.
Don't kill people. I mean,
it's
I don't want to say how hard is that, but how hard is that?
It's pretty easy. I've lived my whole life without killing any people.
I don't think I have either. I mean, I kill people with kindness.
I mean, I kill them with funny,
you know, with
jokes.
My good looks. But, right. Oh, we joke. But anyway, so that's the story of Benjamin and Erica Seifert and how don't ever go anywhere with people you don't know because you're going to get killed.
Well, here's the other thing, too, is that could literally happen. You just never know. It could happen anytime, any place. It could even happen with someone
know.
You know very well because they might have had a,
they might be
some
a kind
of
killer.
Mental snap or something. It doesn't mean mean stay in your house and never leave. It just means
no. That's exactly what it means.
No, it just means exercise a little caution.
A little bit of caution, and maybe don't go to places that have puns in their names, like Secrets.
I'm pretty sure I would go to Secrets. Like, that's hilarious.
I'm sure I would too. Actually, that drink he was holding looked delightful.
It's not Secrets' fault that those people were there.
You're right. But anyway, it just makes me think, shit, if they weren't so dumb and she wasn't like thinking she was a badass having that stuff. Oh, and I also wanted to mention that they were white supremacists and he had a huge ass swastika tattoo on his chest.
What? All right.
Yeah.
Don't ever let him out.
I thought I saw a picture of him with that on his chest, like in something else. And then I was listening to something today, True Crime Brewery. And they were talking about it. And yeah, he absolutely is a white supremacist. And he has a fucking swastika tattoo. And I'm like, you know, never mind. Let this piece of trash
rot. Rot in hell, motherfucker.
Like, what the hell?
But okay, so here's the other thing, though, too, that I do believe people can change and that people can have second.
Agreed, of course.
I read about that there's this tattoo shop, and I forget where it is now, but they do free cover-ups if you, if you had a, you know, like some kind of white supremacist tattoo from your younger, stupider days, and you're like, I'm not like that anymore. I'm trying to change and be a better person, and they'll cover it up for free. And I just thought that was
really cool. Did you see the one? And it was the guy who has the mixed son.
No, but that is
a swastika, and he was saying that he has a mixed son now, and it was not even his biological son. It's like his wife's kid from a previous relationship. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I just can't. I mean, he's like, I was so dumb. And he's like, I didn't know anything about anything. And he's like, and I can't have my kid, my son, looking at this, you know?
I saw this other one.
They got it covered
up.
That
was a lady who had a Confederate flag tattooed, like, on her ankle or something. And she was like, and it's funny because she
said she doesn't know anything about the Civil War.
Yeah, right. But she got it when she was younger, you know, and stupid. And she was like, now I go to all these rallies that are like, she's like, I go to Black Lives Matters protests, I go to rallies for abortion and stuff. She's like, I can't have someone next to me see that and think that I stand for something bad, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out there. I do believe in second chances. I do believe
of course.
But man, what two fucked up individuals you gotta be to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. And how long they would have got away with it if they hadn't been busted.
Yeah.
All because you wanted to get a fucking Hooters golf shirt.
Right?
That's
so weird.
Get it. Dumb. But anyway, so yeah. That's my story.
I don't even have a funny segue into our emails, but just like if you have any kind of story, a ghost story, alien story, true crime story, even just a funny story that you heard and want to tell us about, send us an email. And where should they
please
send that email, Leanne?
They're going to want to send that email to boozeandghoulspod@gmail.com. That's boozeandghoulspod@gmail.com.
That's right. You can also check us out on Twitter at boozeandghouls or TikTok and Instagram at boozeandghoulspod. You can also rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. And I think that's pretty much it.
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween!
Until next time.
Stay boozy,